morning and welcome to Bethany Chapel. Somebody told me downstairs, Brad, maybe we shouldn't put your name in the bulletin so far ahead. Maybe more people would show up. I'll have to talk to Jim Cameron about that. Well, last Thursday, when you sat down at a large meal, were you thankful? Thankful for things in addition to the food? Were you thankful, perhaps, Lord's blessing, for his faithfulness, for his mercy, and be thankful for family and friends. As you sat at that table, did the thought of thankfulness enter your mind at all?
That's tough. Because if you sat down for a large meal on Thanksgiving Day, whether you knew it or not, and were even somewhat thankful, you were part of a century-old tradition. You participated, whether you realize it now or not, in a faith-based tradition. A tradition that in the United States officially is 138 years old. A tradition with roots in this country that are even older than that, will go back about 180 years. Even if your main dish wasn't turkey, you qualify. So after all, the Romans were finished. Probably had recipes of that venison and duck and goose. Right? And I know there's some children in the field in the particular tradition. So whether you do it or not, you are part of a long and ongoing tradition. Most of you know the story of the pilgrims that came to Plymouth, Massachusetts in 1620 when it bears its name. You know, they weren't named for Massachusetts. Set apart this day as a day of solemn thanksgiving and praise to God for such as his goodness and favor and many particulars of his mercy and his instance. But we do not doubt those who are sensible of God's affliction and have been as diligent to espy him returning to us that the Lord may behold us as a people often praised. Thereby glorifying him. Most of that phrase is, behold us as a people, often sometime later, there was an official Thanksgiving for all 13 colonies. 1777, proclamation was issued. They celebrated Thanksgiving, most especially the victory over the British at Saratoga. Interestingly enough, colonies in the whole world still have to be a little feeling. And so I was to celebrate the Thanksgiving Day. It wasn't until 1789, after the Constitution was granted, that George Washington proclaimed the National Day of Thanksgiving. Later on, many scoffed at that idea, that there would be able to do something important to it, you know, children. In 1789, George Washington wrote these words: "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge God's love and God, to obey His will, to grace His eternities, and humbly to obtain His protection and favor, I therefore now do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted by the people of each state to the service of that great and glorious all the good that was, that is, and that will be, and that we may then all unite and render unto Him a sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of His country." We have a line here that says, "Bottom, City of New York, Thursday, October 1789. We know that after this proclamation was lost for a lot of years, that he found it as lost. Thanksgiving went on a bit of a hiatus. And there was a spear woman abroad named Sarah Westcott Taylor. She was an editor and author of a lady's magazine. She planned a campaign to make Thanksgiving Day a national thing for the Catholic Church. She began writing governors and presidents, oratorios, and editorial, speaking to the Church of the Church, and finally, her efforts. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful plants. To these boundaries, which are so constantly growing that we are so prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, particularly insensible to the ever-watchful providence. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father, who dwelleth in heaven. And I recommend to them that while offering up the restrictions just to use them for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, demand that His tender care all those widows and orphans, mourners and sufferers, the lamentable things of lamentable civil strife in which we are now unavoidably engaged, and presently employed in the position of the Almighty's hand to heal the wounds of the nation and control the human system of the divine purpose. It says, "On this day, the 3rd of October, the year of our Lord, 1863, of the independence of the United States, we engage Abraham Lincoln." The most of all the stuff that I produce in the country hasn't been built. It's a man who said, "A man who said, a 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 man who said you're a believer here today, you're part of a much stronger position of thanksgiving. The believers, it's not just 178 or 280 years. The Christians is much older. And that's the only Paul writes to you today. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Here we go. He should be obvious. Let us see in the apostle, it should be obvious. He's probably already there thinking, okay, let's see. He's got to use the word thank you. through your day. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in the members of the body, of one body, you will call the peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in your richly, teach you and honor you out of all wisdom, and show us the end of the spiritual God with gratitude of God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus to be friends.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, all of his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name, that the heart of those who seek the Lord from the nation, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in the thankfully. Honor his holy name. And the third one is A. And we've had reference to this already, and you've heard this thing before, and I truly feel it from whomever I heard it from. But A has to stand for an attitude of gratitude. You've heard that before, right? You have to have an attitude of gratitude, an appropriate context for all believers. Turn back, if you would, to Colossians once again, this time of page. How can we always be thankful? Well, the first step to always being thankful is to be thankful more. And thankful more. Be thankful more. What does Psalm 105 say? Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he's done. Turn over to 106. It says, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord for his good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank you. he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. He's the keeper of covenant promises. He's faithful. And the last one is S. It all doesn't stand for Stringer. Stand for Sting. You suspected that, so like that. How can Brian Stringer stand up and preach a message without making some reference to him? It's hard, especially in Thanksgiving. You notice how frequently giving thanks, especially in the Psalms and throughout Scripture, how frequently when it's mentioned that you're to give thanks, or we are to give thanks, that singing praises to God follows hard on the heels of giving thanks. We see that in 1 Chronicles, we see that in Psalm 105, after verse 1, where it says praise, and give thanks to the Lord, it says sing song. And you know Psalm 100, most of you have memorized that at one time or another. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Shout to the Lord, right? Sing him a song. There's a hymn in our book that was written by a good old German named Martin Linhart. He was the pastor of a little church in Eilenburg in the Saxony area of Germany. In the 1640s, he was pastor of this church. And in Europe in 1640, if you remember your history, there was a horrible thing going on called the 30 Years' War. Man, oh man, the press would have had a heyday to that. 30 years of war. And in the midst of this war, Eilenburg was a town that was continually besieged. It was a walled city, and if you control the walled city, you control a significant area. And three different times at least, this town had been overrun. And at one point in the midst of the war, there was also a plague. And the devastation was so great that this poor Pastor Rinkert was performing as many as 40 to 50 funerals a day. That's tough work, but he was faithful. Invading armies marched back and forth through the town, at least twice by the Swedes and once by the Austrians. And on one occasion, the Swedish commander said, "You guys have to pay, or I'm taking all your lives." He demanded tribute. He demanded a ransom. Well, these poor folk were devastated. They had nothing left. It's a 30-year war. Other armies had already been there, and they pled with the commander saying, "Come on, man, lighten up," for words to that effect. And he wouldn't listen. Finally, the pastor grabbed his congregation in the midst of this discussion and said, "Let's plead with God, since pleading with his man is not accomplishing anything." And he got on his knees right there in front of everybody in the dirt and prayed. And the commander was so impressed with his man's heart that he said, "All the life," and reduced the tribute to a much more manageable number, more obviously than they wanted to pay, but a much smaller amount. And we have the words translated for us in our hymn book. And you've sung them many times. We sang them this morning. "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." Now think of this. In the midst of a war, in the midst of plague and famine and destitution and struggle, he writes these words. "Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed." You know, we've been studying the Psalms and we've heard of Psalms of Lament, it's all right to be perplexed. And it's all right to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm perplexed. But thank Him. Guide us when perplexed and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son, and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, in earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. So what do I want you to get from today? Paul, he says, you've got to send people home with us. So what? Well, here's the so what. Think thankfully. Honor His holiness. Have an attitude of gratitude. Have it now. And why are you thankful now? Because He keeps His covenant. He's faithful to His promises. And if you need a way to thank God and be thankful, sing. Can you do that? Why don't we stand together and sing this last stanza of hymn number 556, the third stanza. Sir, if you come and pray for us, I appreciate that. Number 556, I'll pray and then we'll be dismissed. Thank You, Lord, that we have a country where we're called to be thankful. If we need a reminder, we have it. And we have an opportunity each Lord's Day to come in Your presence, to celebrate communion, to see the Eucharist before us, a time of thanksgiving. Lord, You've blessed us in so many ways. And we thank You most of all for the blessing of Your Son, who has redeemed us and bought us. And hold us secure in the name. Bless us, Lord, now as we part, as we work this week, as we study, as we go about the tasks that You have before us. Help us, Lord, to be thankful people, because we're people that belong to You. And we need to be found by You, praising and glorifying You. We pray because of Your Son.